Catch Tilly, hello and welcome to the last Post magazine interviews. How are you?
Hello, Greg. I'm pretty good. Pretty good at the moment.
Now, Catch.
So that's
you're an author, an acclaimed author. Actually, your well-known book is otherwise known as Pig, and details bullying. Actually, the effects of bullying, and how did you come across starting that book?
Okay, well, look, it started from a workshop. Myself and my husband were doing a lot of theatre at the time, and we did some workshop performances in schools on bullying. And after we'd done them, because it was a drama, we did a lot of research. I made sure everything we presented was actually happening, but we deliberately chose extreme examples. You know, you want to make a dramatic impact, and afterwards, kids came up to us, you know, this is just like the playground. Oh, you got it so right. This is really true to life. And from that point, I felt really compelled to write the story, particularly when kids said that they found it really empowering to see those sorts of stories presented.
Yes.
And I just sometimes, you write books for all sorts of reasons, but occasionally something really burns in you. And you say, I absolutely have to write this. And Pig was one of those books.
Yeah, good on you,
Catch. I just felt I had to do it.
Yeah, well, the world thanks you. I know that, should have mentioned, by the way, that Friday, March the 20th, is National Day of Action on Bullying and Violence, and you're playing a role in that by promoting your book and speaking to people like me. So well done there.
Thank you very much. And in fact, I'm speaking the day before at the Holdfast Bay Library.
All right.
There'll be a talk in the afternoon, and if people are interested, I think schools have been invited, so if schools are interested, they can contact the library there.
Isn't that wonderful?
Because there'll be a talk in the afternoon the day before. And I think that's a really important day, this National Day of Action.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good to raise that sort of awareness. And I'm really pleased to see such a focus on the rest of us, on bystander having some say in the process.
Mm.
And that's really crucial on that community involvement.
Yes, indeed. And I was about to say, you're opening it up to the community on that subject and encouraging people to speak about it, which is always the first step in any action or reaction, I guess, to bullying, which is probably more widespread than we think. But you have written for The Guardian and appeared on ABC Radio on this very subject, so you're well versed. How did it feel for you, Catch, going through writing that book? Was it a bit raw in some occasions? It's very confronting, actually.
Yeah, it was like, when I write, I just get completely into the mindset of whoever I'm writing.
Mm.
I find it, my husband will tell you, I find it almost impossible to see anything outside that perspective when I'm writing it. So I sort of spent this year thinking, feeling, swearing as a 14-year-old boy, and it was quite an experience. And just this, and the facts themselves, the facts that sort of like, I mean, it's a story and it's fictional. There's no actual direct relation to any person living or dead in the story. But the facts of bullying are just shocking. They're just really frightening. And looking at all of those and taking that into yourself if you need to when you write, feeling that sort of constant fear sometimes that Morgan feels, feeling that the way he just grits his teeth and goes on, his anger, all those different things, and just the different circumstances that different people in the book are in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real experience, but I think that's the glory of writing. You get this wonderful opportunity to go really inside someone else's head, to really feel the way they feel, think the way they feel. It's a silly example, but I've never liked those, you know, new houses they put up at Mawson Lakes, etc. I grew up, you know, in Sydney in all those lovely old houses, and you've got wonderful old houses here, and that's my idea of a perfect house. But Morgan thinks they're wonderful. And I think in the year I sort of started to see, oh, yes, I don't think I'd ever want to buy one, but I can sort of see what he thinks if you go at it a certain way. And just even silly things like that, you sort of get so inside the character that you can start seeing the world in a different way.
Yes.
And that's always exciting. And I think that's one of the things a book can do.
Yes.
It can take you into that. Like, there was this experience, like, you'd have heard about it, of course. It was David Bevan picked it up and he invited me in to talk about it. This girl, that was beaten up by another couple of girls at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a situation that could have come straight out of the book. Like, it was almost, I could have written that scene and I slotted it into Pig and nobody would have thought I'd been changing anything. It was exactly the sort of thing I'd been writing about.
Yes.
And yet, you know, one of the readers, one of the people that called in about this incident, they said, oh, I want to see those kids, all those kids at an assembly. I want to see the headmaster talking to them, etc. And David said, no, he'd actually been speaking to people and that sort of thing was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's why you write a book, so that people can understand what it's like, so people can take that extra step without some year 8 girl in hospital with her teeth kicked in.
Yes, because they're...
You know, without it needing to be real,
yep.
You can make it real emotionally, so that people don't need to get hurt before people wake up and say, hey, we need to do something about this.
Yes, that's right. Very well said, Catch, because, of course, David Bevan, for people outside of South Australia, is 891 ABC Radio in South Australia. And, of course, this is something that is pervasive in the whole community, unfortunately. And when we see examples like this, it becomes real flesh and blood. Your book reflects that very well. A lot of people that don't suffer from bullying may find it hard to believe it exists, but it's been going on for time immemorial. Did you learn anything new about this while writing the book? I guess your workshops would have taught you a lot with the kids.
They did. I'm trying to think, what are some of the most... I mean, you do learn. You have an idea. I was lucky. When I was growing up, I wasn't personally badly bullied. I had some problem with teasing, problems with... But I didn't have the sort of bullying. Never happened to me that happens to Pig. But when I was writing the book... People would come up to me and I'd say, I'm writing this book on bullying, and we'd talk about it, and they'd say, oh, yes, you know, my brother had his arm broken in primary school, you know, or, I mean, other stories that are, in fact, too horrific to repeat.
Yes.
You know, people would just tell you. It really reminded me of the Me Too movement.
Yes.
That you know, you think this only happens to you or only happens to someone you know, and then suddenly... You put it out there, and every second or third person saying, yes, I have this story too.
Yes,
indeed. This happens to me as well. And I think that was probably the biggest thing I noticed about this. There's facts, you know, like Google. You go online, and like when I wrote the book, when I prepared the teacher's notes, you know, in the last year, you go online and you just Google school bullying Australia. And 5 minutes Googling and you'll come up with 2 or 3 horrific examples in the last 6 months. You know, there's an example. My daughter did a project in her year 12 in 2012, and then that related to bullying. And then in 2018, I did one of those quick Google searches, and there were 2 incidences where a boy was held down and punched in the head. In one of the incidences, it was 20 times in Sydney, and another incident, it was 17 times in Perth.
Mm.
And apart from those minor facts, it was exactly the same story.
Mm.
Just as it was that same story of that girl a few weeks ago. I mean, this fact that it keeps happening.
Yes.
That it hasn't gone away, that we have this, that, you know, there's so much focus on online bullying, and I think that's a really important thing to focus on as well, because that's so incredibly invasive.
Mm.
But... We think that because there's so much online bullying, the other bullying's gone away. But no, we've just added an extra level. We really do have this problem, and I think it's really fantastic to see, you know, groups like the National Day of Action, etc., trying to do something about that.
Yes, indeed, and I'll ask about that in just a moment. But I think what do you think causes bullying? What's the reason behind bullying?
Ooh. Now, that's an interesting one. Mm. I mean, I think the answer is very simple and very complicated. I think people can be bad. People, you know, it's the old story that people say, you know, power corrupts.
Mm.
And bullying is always done by a person in power.
Mm.
If the person is doing the bullying does not have more power than the person who's being bullied, then it's not bullying.
Mm.
By actual definition, it's always injustice.
Mm.
And I think one of the reasons it happens is because when we have power, we often use that We can use that two ways. We can use it to help or we can use it to hurt. And I think so often as human beings, like from the youngest age to the oldest age, as individuals, as communities, as countries, we often use that power to hurt.
Yes, and there's certain...
So I think that's why, you know, and as someone who's got a lot of experience with you know, the last post does a lot of work with veterans, etc. I think you've seen that over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Where power can be used negatively.
Indeed, Catch. And, well, geez, we have some examples of that in leadership around the world right now, where bullying is taken for granted almost and not discouraged. So we see that, and they're bad role models, you would imagine, for younger people, indeed the whole community. So, yeah, it's a bit of a tricky one, and I guess you talk about power, and I would agree with that. I think bullying is all about wanting to enforce power and to do it perhaps in a way that's less than good, let's put it that way. So, yeah.
Jeez. Absolutely, and you said there about community, and I think that's really crucial because, you know, like, I mean, I suppose you could say things like, you know, the Nazi gas chambers were one of the most extreme examples of bullying we saw in the 20th century. And these sorts of things only ever happen when the community is in some way complicit.
Mm-hmm.
If we, you know, we like, because, you know, if the community has to let it happen, whether they're active or passive, if they are active against it, their bullying will stop in that instance.
Mm.
Because, you know, unless it is, because it's the community. It's the community that ultimate, there's bullies and there's people being bullied.
Yes.
And, you know, they can be individuals and they can be groups.
Yes.
But ultimately, it's that larger group that sits around them, that makes that circle around the action, that ultimately decides whether that action will continue or not.
Yes, that's right.
And I mean, this is where injustice comes in, where we have just laws. That community has decided this particular form of injustice, this particular form of bullying will not happen. And where we have unjust laws, as we've seen so often in our country, then that bullying, that law says this bullying can happen.
Yes, and I think also, Catch, people complain about politicians, but as I've often said, they are a reflection of our society. And if they get away with things, then in the end it is down to us, because you must make strong statements and you must take action against things that you believe are less than good. And not to do so is, as we spoke about before with the Nazis, etc., it is allowing it to happen. So how do people fight bullying, and what can they do as a lead up to Friday, March the 20th and beyond?
I think the first thing is to acknowledge and to understand that this does happen. To acknowledge and understand that bullying will happen, and that it does happen. So that it's not something you can just say, oh, it doesn't happen. It's not something you can just push away by denying it. And I think that's the first way people deny, stop bullying. And the second thing is to be aware that everybody is a fully fledged human being. You know, we are often bullying starts with, I mean, and you see this very strongly in Pig, I make a real point of this, is that everyone calls him Pig. So he's not really a person. He's just this thing. You know, there's one line, oh, that's just Pig. You have to hit him to shut him up.
Mm.
So it's like he's not a person. I think as particularly perhaps as children in school, so we see this all the time in our society as adults, you know, we need to acknowledge even that kid that you don't like, who's really annoying, who you would never want to actually be friends with, they're still a human being and they still have the same right to be treated as a human being, as you do, as your close friends do. And I think if we start to see that, we start to believe that.
Mm.
And then then it's a matter of, when you can, taking the courage to step up, even if it's just saying, hey, that's not fair.
Mm.
Even if it's just not laughing when someone makes a cool joke at someone.
Yep, so if people can be...
I mean,
go on.
Yes, go on.
No, I'm saying if people can be encouraged to make a stand against this on a personal level, wherever it's happening, to let people know that it's not okay. Your book, otherwise known as Pig, is a good read. It's a magnificent book, and I felt very close to the action reading the thing. Actually, who was it? Was it Charlie Archibald who wrote Mallee Boys? Said this about it: this book casts a raw and unflinching light on bullying and will resonate with many readers. So I believe so. It's a great thing to do, and hopefully will make people more aware of bullying, Catch. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you so much for the interview, Catch.